hey, yo, and here we go, because we're doing, I think, what is called this one, Weird Night on the Patio. It's like a mix of a bunch of different things we got. I don't know how long we're going to go for. Probably not too crazy long. We just finished watching Jaws 3D in 3D here at Brett's house. And Brett's with us. Of course, I'm Mo. There's Brett. There's Chris. There's Keith. We're at Brett's house.
Not on Skype at all.
Not on Skype.
Live
and in person outside. We have a bunch of crazy beers. Many of them gluten-free because that's all that Keith can have.
That's right. For longtime listeners who remember our last Weird Food on the Patio, that episode gave me celiac disease. And now this year it's had to be as gluten-free as we can go, Weird Food on the Patio.
And so we have four weird foods that are, we got here, we got flax and soy flavored corn thins. We have some gluten-free chocolate chip cookies and something called Glutino, gluten-free yogurt covered pretzels. And then the highlight, Keith, is what?
These are Gimme chips. They are seafood and rice, and frankly, seafood rice, organic brown rice, seaweed, lentils, and sesame seeds, teriyaki flavored.
Yeah, I only wanted to get
that
sounds bad. I only wanted to get one that nuts, and then there's and then we got beers up the wazoo. Keith, what are the ones that we have here that are?
I don't. We should just start drinking them because
because a lot of this is actually going to get thrown out because we can't drink this much. Not even Chris.
And all right. I see the
look on his face going, you want it back?
Let's start with
we're going to start something gluten-free.
Glutenberg Red. Is that Red? Steve Glutenberg?
Steve Glutenberg.
Well done, Brett. Well done. You had a Glutenberg, though.
I had the blonde is what I had while we were watching the film.
So we'll do.
We're gonna pour some beers.
I not even that much, Brett. I'm not a red beer fan, and this is actually today. I mean, I had an awful beer. And we'll probably sample that later, but except for Keith because it's a beer, not a gluten free. But I had
Chris
a beer.
A little extra.
This is the first alcohol I've had in like 16 months, and Brett rarely drinks either.
Like, well, it's true. I've had like one.
Me neither. This is my first beer in 16.
Minutes, 16 hours. Probably.
Now, Brett, what's in a Glutenberg?
Let's actually see.
Chris is already drinking. He doesn't care.
Let's see. Ingredients: water, buckwheat, millet, molasses, chestnut, candy syrup, quinoa, hops, and yeast.
Sounds
disgusting.
It sounds like a salad.
Bottoms up.
Bottoms up. Let's see how this tastes.
To Jaws 3.
Oh, it smells like a beer. I'll give it that.
Wow, it actually tastes shockingly beer-like, too.
What kind of beerish?
It's, the aftertaste is disgusting.
Yeah, you would want to keep drinking this so you never get to the aftertaste.
we need something to pour out the stuff that we're not going to drink.
Some sort of dump bucket.
We need some sort of dump bucket.
Yeah, it's
this
it's
tastes like somebody's dump to me. No, it tastes like beer. It's perfectly fine. It's just I don't like red beer anyway.
It tastes like red beer for sure.
Yeah, it tastes like, and I'm not like a red
really,
beer.
I'd say more like a stout, but
yeah,
oh, it's kind
like,
of
it's a darker.
Yeah,
definitely get the chocolate notes.
Once we
and
get
surprisingly,
to here.
I taste the chestnut.
See, and I don't taste any of that. I taste the aftertaste bitter. I taste that it's just not. It's more like a stout, and again, it's not really. My thing is, Brett's, I think, gone to get us some sort of barrel that we can pour. We're wasting a lot of money on beer tonight that's going to get poured out because we wouldn't be able to drive home if we keep going.
I'm getting so,
Chris is already thinking about how much will a cab cost?
If it rains, this will keep the rain off of him where we're sitting here. So, you could just stay here.
That's true. Won't be the first time he's passed out from drinking too much beer.
I'm acquiring a taste for this.
Actually, I hate to admit it, but I am too.
It is like a like
stout, yeah,
like a heavier, like a Newcastle or something like that.
Absolutely, it's not bad, actually.
And that's one of the beers I've missed not being able to drink.
You know what? If you like a red beer and you can't, if you have celiac disease, you can't. I think this is a perfectly fine. Alternative for you. I think you'll enjoy this as much as and move on with your life and quit your bitching, Keith. Quit your bitch. So Jaws 3D. Good. Okay, there we go. We'll just pour our excess stuff in that.
So, Mo, you had never seen Jaws 3 at all.
No, I'd never seen it at all. Just a couple clips.
And I had seen it all in 2D.
You'd seen it in 2D.
I'd seen it 2D. I might finish that one because I've only got like three different kinds of
Jaws. Okay.
Three
or four. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
he's got less to try because there is somewhat limited options still with the...
Yes.
So.
It's true. All right. Well, what should we try next? Should we try something extreme?
Yeah, let's try something not gluten-free.
Keith, you guys go.
Keith, yeah.
Let's do the Stiegel.
Stiegel?
It'll be a nice palate cleansing.
Okay.
After this
that's fair.
Little grapefruit to cleanse the palate.
Yeah. And I do have to have a little disclaimer on this one. This is in my regular rotation. Buy this all the time.
Okay. So your regular rotation of 16 hours ago.
So for those who are not familiar with Jaws 3D, I've just opened up the IMDb, where it has a 3.6 out of 10 IMDb user rating. So go with that. So the plot summary is: the sons of Police Chief Brody must protect civilians at a SeaWorld theme park after a 30-foot shark becomes trapped in the park with them.
Really? Only so they 30? Watched a different movie than
we did. Only 30 feet.
Because the sun's...
No,
35 feet.
I was thinking that 35.
35
okay. That's what they said. I was thinking that almost for sure, like they were called Brody. And so, you know, if you're familiar with the original one, which I've seen a bunch because it's one of the greatest movies of all time, and this wasn't. if you watched it, they kept on calling them Brody, but I was wondering if all of that was done in post. Like, I kept thinking, like, every rep, because it was certainly not a plot point at all that they talked about what happened as a kid. Like, there's one line about it.
One or two offhand lines. Like, there's the reference to Sean. That's what,
nothing
like,
about the
something
dad,
happened.
Really.
There's one line of something happened when we were kids. It literally was something happened when we were kids.
So I don't
and that's why
water.
He goes to school in Colorado.
Yeah. So that's why I don't go in the water.
And, so this was directed by Joe Alves. Elvis, all right.
Who retired soon after?
Who directed? This is the only
Holy
thing
crap,
he directed.
This is good, Chris.
It is good. Yeah,
it is the only film really he directed.
Oh yeah, no, I kept meaning to recommend it to you. It just never come up.
Well, it's been 16 months anyway, so it's okay.
And he was the production designer on Jaws 1 and 2.
Oh,
okay,
all right.
This is his only film,
as well as Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's the only one directing.
The only one directing, because I guess after this you peak, and you couldn't. How are you going to talk
true.
It? I'd never seen it, and here's the thing: if you get together with some friends and you can watch this in 3D and you don't have a blast, I don't understand you as a human being. But if you watch this in 2D by yourself, you need friends.
That's
it's because it's awful in every way. But when you watch it in the right environment, like the 3D is so the 3D is good. But the shots are so, like, and it gets more and more, like, outrageous and obvious, and the effects are awful, and it's just, like, if you can, you're laughing with your friends and making fun of it, it's a blast, but, like, as a movie, I don't know.
Well,
I watched them all four back-to-back, so, all by myself, so.
I checked.
Point taken.
My IMDb says, I having watched only the 2D version, I gave it a 2 out of 10.
And what would you give the 3D version?
I'm trying to decide. Maybe by the end of the episode, I will decide whether to re-rate
the 3D is really good.
12.
12 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's because the extra numbers are coming right out.
That's the thing. You've seen it before.
It's
so that's
actually
scene,
a 2, but it's...
So you knew that scene at the end was coming. And yet it still got you, and you were laughing so hard, I thought you were going to choke.
That in 2D must
suck.
Really
it doesn't at all sell the way that the 3D does. Like, this is... Like, strangely, considering this movie's over 30 years old, it's one of the few 3Ds that makes good use of it, of the 3D for effect. I mean, it does remind me of the Piranha movies, which did the same. Like, the 3D actually was part of the whole idea of doing it. It wasn't just, you know, so that we could charge $5 extra.
Yeah, no, it's not like most movies nowadays where they film it and they upconvert it. And they may know they're going to do it, but they don't go out of the way for shots or anything like that in it. So
Like you see one of the Marvel movies or even Star Wars. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. No. You might get one or two shots in the whole film that there's.
But those probably would have happened anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I think That was a lot of fun. I'm really, really glad we watched it. I'm really glad to have waited all these years to see it in a 3D, seeing it with you guys. But I, now that the jokes have happened of watching and laughing at this thing, I don't see, how do you ever watch it again?
Like, actually, I could probably,
because we'd have to top this experience, and I don't think you could.
No, I could probably do it again in like 5 years, as long as it was again us together.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we would see something different from. Yeah.
If we could do a live audio
for different parts instead of, you know. Yeah.
If we could do a live audio commentary of it, that would have been great. But we had talked about trying to do that, but couldn't. But yeah.
Well, what I'll do is I've been doing time capsules that I put into my crawl space with the intention of opening them in 5 years. I'm going to throw Jaws 3 in there.
That's with a good notes. Idea. You should like, put one of these beers into
one of these beers.
Does that mean we're going to still be doing this podcast in 5 years? I mean,
well, it could be a revival.
Okay. I mean, we never thought we'd make it 5 episodes before.
We'll be doing it on the next format up from how we're currently recording it.
Yes,
it'll be going out on the mental airwaves.
I mean, we did the mail order era.
Yeah,
that's
we're
right.
In the cassette era. We've done the podcast era, and you know, by 5 years from now, it may be direct mental downloads. Yep. It could be perhaps all podcasts will just be played live in parks.
could be
more social.
That's the other thing about this movie. I'm going. I don't know what SeaWorld this is. It's not the one that's ever existed, but it's awesome.
Yeah, like, I would go there because SeaWorld just kind of sucks now.
I call this stuff. Yeah.
No, that SeaWorld doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge hit, wasn't this? Wasn't that so?
I don't know how this movie.
Actually, I think it failed.
No, it made a lot of money, actually.
I thought it did too, yeah. It's that 3D. It's part of that, you know, like I say, that this would have been the second wave of the popularity of 3D. The 50s and the early 80s, and then now, really.
IMDb numbers were a $20 million budget and a $42 million U.S. gross.
Which is pretty damn
good.
So
it did some
Jaws money, but yeah. it's pretty good.
But for a three, well, you know, yeah, that's, exactly. That's exactly.
Yeah, for the third movie in a series at a time where very few movies were doing. Yeah,
actually, it is literally Jaws money, but.
Well, Jaws, the original, made more than that.
All right, what?
It does exactly the kind of money of a third film in the Jaws series would do.
What are we gonna try next?
I don't know. What do you want to?
The interesting
thing, Keith wants to open up the
grapefruit.
Do we want to open up with this kiwi? Whatever.
No,
that's good.
No. That's your main event.
Yeah. You got to build that.
You could use a snack. We're gonna break open. We'll see how these are. And the reason we got these, I went to a Planet Organic and bought some stuff. Like I say, tried to buy a few snacks and a few things that would be different, and hopefully that Keith had never tried. And I know that Keith can't have soy because it's got gluten in it. Right?
I can have soy. I can't have soy sauce.
That's what I meant. Yeah. Soy sauce. You couldn't have soy sauce. So I figured this would be a way for you to have soy sauce flavor because it's So that's why I got this flax and soy. Of course, it might taste nothing like that. It looks really weird.
make sure to pictures for the show notes.
Well, somebody's going to have to do that because my camera's recording.
Okay.
So, and I don't know how much light we're going to have for the pictures, but...
It's a shame we don't have flashes.
Yeah. Let's see how well that works.
My power up.
But, you know, I find, Chris, that the thing about the grapefruit is that it actually kind of tastes like grapefruit soda in a
way. It tastes more like grapefruit than it does beer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it's refreshing, but it's still I don't know. I taste beer in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very light, refreshing.
Oh, it is for sure.
Drink.
Yeah, no, I like that. Like,
and gives me excuse to go to the Tilted Kilt.
Keith, go ahead and
without feeling like a pervert. Well, I'm not here for the girls. I'm here for the stuff on tap over
these
there.
Are very thin rice cakes.
Oh, these are really thin. That's the thing.
Like, I don't think a third of the thickness of a regular.
Wow.
And what are these called again?
These are corn thins. Flax and soy flavored corn thins. So
the mouthfeel is the same as a rice cake.
And I kind of figured they would be.
Alright.
So. Are we ready to move on from Jaws?
They're like dry sugar pops. I love Jaws 3. Watching it, you know, as a group and laughing it up, and Lou Gossett Jr. was hilarious.
Those are awful.
they are pretty bad. I would put a something on this. I would dip it in, or like, you know, spread something on this.
Mm-hmm. Where the hell's the soy flavor?
I'm not getting a soy hit at all off this. At all.
It's like sawdust, really.
I mean, there's no flavor to this. Mm-mm. There was other flavors. And I went, no, he'd appreciate a soy. I should have gone with one of the other flavors. But, yeah, you're right.
See, I'm not 100% sure this is flavored. I think it has soybeans in it. I think it's actually not.
Well, there was flavor, so. I'll say this, if we can get this and put some Cheese Whiz on it or something,
yeah, that'd
be really good.
Yeah.
Well, Cheese Whiz, or something that tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some sort of spread or a jam. Mm-hmm. Treat it as a flatbread.
Mm-hmm. So these are yours to take home, Keith?
Oh, thank you. Nice takeaway.
Actually, if I can grab a couple more of those to snack on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Of course, that's Chris. That up. What are we trying here, Brett?
I've given us an Innis & Gunn Irish Whiskey Finish.
Okay.
It's a seasonal edition.
Now, Innis & Gunn is... That's good. Not too much there.
Sorry.
Innis & Gunn is like my favorite beer. I love the original Innis & Gunn, so I thought, and I bought that too. In case somebody hadn't tried it.
Oh, this is a stout, yes. So.
But this is, you know, I just wanted to see what else they have out there. So I never tried this. What, Chris, you have an odd look on your face. More so than normal.
just having a smell. No, this is an Irish whiskey stout.
Yeah, this is a hearty beer, is what this is.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm going to need the bucket.
It's not bad. Like, I actually don't mind the flavor of the taste of it.
There's a certain sweetness that kind of kicks in at the end.
That's what I don't like.
But here's
that's
the thing,
actually what saves it for me.
The number one thing I could, like, if I had
think
this,
just toss that cup out, Chris.
I could not drink
in here
much
or no?
more than this.
No. You know? No, this is like something you would do as a sampler. I don't dislike it, though, actually. It does punch you in the face.
Oh, yeah.
That is why I would drink like a Newcastle or a Guinness would be, like, if I was going to have one beer, that would be.
Oh, but man, when like we get like to the extreme 10.5% alcohol, that's when we're going to, this bucket's going to be coming in handy then.
Can I please throw this in the bucket? I can't handle it anymore. I'm done. I'm done with that one. Yeah, again, somebody's either getting really hammered tonight with all this stuff, because we've had now a few tastes, and there's all this already open beer that's undrank on the table, and it's weird. But do we want to do something for Keith here, or do we fuck him?
Yeah, Keith tried this one, so let's try this, the other Glutenberg blonde.
Because we need something lighter after that.
Oh, boy, do we ever.
Could I have a little more of that? If I could have a little more of that grapefruit to just
Chris
to
has
clean
it.
My.
I finished it off.
Chris will be sleepy in your yard tonight, Brett. All right, just go on with this.
I actually think this Glutenberg wand will be okay, but
pour myself here.
Let's not forget we have to have Keith into this one.
Oh yeah, Keith.
Even though he tried it.
You give it another.
I should mention before you write me off as the alcoholic I truly am. Only 3.5%.
Yeah. Well, and that's why, like, you know, I got...
You need the grapefruit one.
Chris needs
Chris,
the...
Did you get some of this?
No.
Yeah, so I think we need to take a picture
this
of
is,
some of the...
This is his lighter. This is a much lighter color than...
Don't forget to take a picture of those three or two, something too, Keith. Not just of the food, also of the...
All right.
Of the beverages.
So, here
so,
we go.
So, Skol. Now, Chris, you just did it wrong. So, Chris, when you say Skol, never raise the glass above your nose.
It's okay. I drank before I did that. So.
That's a thing?
That's a thing, yeah, in Denmark. You never raise it, ideally, above your mouth. Yeah, raise it up to your mouth, but never above. Never up, so, like, high up to your forehead or eyes or anything like that.
Is that because someone would, like, hit it and knock it into your face? Or what's the superstition then?
I don't know. It's just, that's it. That's just the tradition.
Would it be the same as somebody throwing a coin in? That's why they use...
You're still making eye contact with people.
The tankers with the lid?
Oh, the people would throw money in there?
Throw money in, and if you drink... off the queen's face or whatever, that means you join the army and are shipped off.
Well, that's a complicated urban legend.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm not familiar with that one.
This is...
Well, it tastes a lot like the gluten red.
Yeah.
But not as good. But it's actually really similar for a light beer. Like, it tastes very much... Maybe it's just that Guinness gun is Irish whiskey still in my mouth. With it, because it's so strong, but...
It tastes carbonated.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah, it does like...
It doesn't taste like a fermented product. Yeah,
it may be that they...
It feels like
it.
A beer that has CO2 added to it.
It's just not...
Interesting.
Like, yeah, I'm not liking this one.
It's just a...
No, I'm not. I'm not a fan of that one, Keith. Yeah, let me throw that in there, too.
The ingredients here are millet, corn... demerara sugar, hops, and yeast. So it doesn't have the molasses that the red does.
Oh, that's a positive. And I love molasses, but like molasses in beer, I don't love apparently.
Yeah. Well, the red had the molasses.
The red was much better. I like the red more. I don't know this one.
Well, you should just
weird.
Give this to Keith.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
obviously we're not gonna
we're not gonna, we're not gonna open that one.
No,
no, that one's...
I don't
want to
do it by
home.
Accident
gonna,
though.
Yeah,
we'll take that one off.
Can we do this one next? As I feel like a vanilla drought, Mill Street
draft.
What did I say?
A drought.
Wow.
I don't think
I've already had too much to drink. I mean, I haven't had anything in 16 months. It doesn't take much. Ooh,
that was a big.
That was a big. Wow.
This one's
about carbonated.
Yeah.
Where are those...
Any predictions on the vanilla?
On vanilla? Well, see, we have these this hard cream soda, which is technically cream soda's vanilla.
Mm.
So I kind of thought it would be like that. But that I've traced it this and this was crap...
It looks weird.
Like, what color is that? Is it a color that existed before? Or?
I don't know. It's really dark, but it's really creamy. Like,
I think that I may like this. I think
you might too. Actually.
It's rapidly gotten dark in Brett's backyard here, so I feel like we should tell ghost stories.
Oh, we did watch Jaws. What I want to talk about. I mean, we're a couple days away from talking to Chuck Dixon, and now we won't be. We were going to do like his best and his worst, and now we probably won't be doing his worst right to his face. And I don't know if we'll ever talk it, but just kind of. Thoughts about some of the books like that you have thought about or read or whatever, opinions on them, before we go into the interview. I mean, this will probably be posted after, but it's kind of interesting.
I have two real opinions.
Because you've read probably, you've read a lot. I've read a couple things.
I've read probably like 70 Chuck Dixon books.
Holy crap.
Because...
Oh, it took him 10 minutes.
Well, it takes 5 minutes to read a book, right? So, I mean, you know, if I have an hour and a half, I can get through a lot of Chuck Dixon. But what I think about Chuck Dixon...
If I've done the math right, that's 35,000 minutes that you spent reading Chuck Dixon.
No, you've done the math wrong. It would be 60 or 12 books.
You're right.
12 books in about 5 hours.
3,500.
Five and a half.
3,500.
5.5 hours. The 330. So anyways, Brett, what were you saying about Chuck?
Well, like, one thing that I really feel is...
These things we complained about, we're eating them because we're hungry.
Yeah. I thought that his character... I feel like his characterization is really good. Like, I feel like when he gets in there, he knows what the characters are supposed to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest problem is that I kind of find that the stories are, for the most part, just... They're stories.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're winners. Sometimes, more often than not, they're just competent stories. Sometimes they're absolute losers. But that being said, there's almost never a point where I've read something Chuck Dixon and I'm like, oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a couple of stories that I've said, actually, that was really good, you know.
Yep.
Like, but more often than not, I'm going in and at the end of it, I'm like... Yeah, that was a fine book. Fine book.
You've read these over the last little bit,
yes.
Correct?
Yes. Now, more Chuck Dixon at once helps a lot.
Now, the point I reach, because I've always enjoyed, in fact, I have two titles that are my go-to, I'm feeling just crappy, I need a good comic book. Two titles I go to that are both written completely by Chuck Dixon. So, all my complaining about them, I still read them. But I came to a point where the repetitiveness got to me. It's the, okay, Robin, I've read this story, then I'll switch to something, I want to say Batgirl or Nightwing, and go, oh yeah, this is the same story, but he flipped the villain. And I just came to a point that, okay, he has probably 8 stories that he recycles over and over.
You know, as a rule, like, what I'm doing is I'm trying to hop around to a lot of different stuff. Like, so I'm only taking, like, 4 issues here, maybe 8 issues.
Oh, that vanilla's awful. sorry, Brett.
Okay, I agree with you, Mo. This vanilla tastes awful, but I'm tempted just to carry it around to smell it. It smells wonderful.
Maybe just dab some behind your ears.
It does smell great.
Use it as a cologne.
It's like liquid Tootsie Rolls.
But I'll tell you right now, don't put it on your fingers, because my fingers are sticky from when I'm trying to open it.
So anyways, what were you saying about Mr. Dixon?
Well, I can see like what you're saying, Chris, about the volume of stories. And like I said, I've only been doing, you know, kind of snippets, I guess, to try to get a feel for a bunch of things. Like, so I've read a little bit of Venus Green Arrow run, I've read, you know, like Rush City, I've read Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm really hopping around.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, he wrote eight issues, episodes. You know, and I think one of the things that I do want to ask about is because he worked a lot for Wildstorm just before they stopped being Wildstorm. And I mean, he did a certain variety of work there. And so it's interesting. And like I say, I appreciate his character, but you know, he does use a lot of like crutches, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah.
And a little too much. And so
he's writing a lot of books. And that's, but it's interesting though, when you talk about something like Nightmare on Elm Street, Chris's thoughts about him, you know, using the same things and flipping them. I mean, if he's doing something that different, then he can't, right?
No, and so I'm not getting that, because what did I read? As far as Robin goes, I read Robin 1, 2, and 3. I read the 3 miniseries. You know, and I mean, sure, to a certain degree they're the same, but at least they're different.
Actually,
stories.
That goes to, I mentioned earlier that I have 2 series that I go back to repeatedly. Number 1, Airboy. Number 2, Alien Legion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And neither of those play into the traditional arcs where the superhero crush.
Yeah, that's right.
Excuse me.
That's the corn thins. Yeah. Or whatever the hell.
So I'm going
to... just absorbing all the liquid in your body.
I'm going to open up the other Stiegel just to see if it is truly a grapefruit... As Chris says it is. I don't believe,
I don't see any evidence, and I think we need a different snack.
Sure.
Yeah, right. I would agree.
Our mouths are drying out from the for the corn.
We're going to go not doing anything. Yeah.
sawdust packet's pretty carbonated.
Yeah, it does for sure. But you know, the number one thing that I can truly say about reading Chuck Dixon now is that I do appreciate him a lot more because I've read more of them together. The thing is, if you're reading a bunch of books, the Chuck Dixon and say like you've got some great writers in there and stuff like that, the Chuck Dixon ones will tend to, you know, congeal around the middle.
Yeah.
Whereas when
congeals nothing.
Yeah. Yes. But whereas when you're reading a bunch of them at once, you know, when he does have a good story, then it does stand out. And so I'll give that as a positive. So I can appreciate those ones.
I can't believe these are gluten-free. These are freaking great.
These are the Glutino. Glutino is one of the higher-end brands for gluten-free food. There's quite a few snack foods. And
these are really nice, yeah.
They make a lot of... I get quite a few things like wafer bars and snack bars and things from Glutino.
Yeah, these are the...
These are the yogurt-covered, which I have not had.
Yogurt-covered pretzels. It's sweet and salty at the same time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really good.
Now, do most gluten-free pretzels have that crunch? Like, those are really...
These are really crunchy.
I love
the
snap to them, not the traditional, just bready.
They've, in the words of Christmas Vacation, I believe they have added a non-nutritive food varnish. to give it that crunch.
I had a couple more of those, actually. I'm liking all.
This is totally not...
Yeah, totally not grapefruit on the beer. Yeah.
Excuse me.
It's How
good,
is it then?
It's good beer. Like this is decent beer. Like this is what I would drink as a back when I drank. This is what I would drink.
It's gonna be.
I think my impression, my thoughts on Dixon is that he does a lot of cleanup work. Like he comes in. Like he came in second on Robin after the character had already been kind of set up. He had come in a little later. See, he wasn't the first writer on Alien Legion either.
No, Carl Potts was.
Yeah, and he's less of an artist and more of a mechanic in some ways.
Sure,
like he's in the G.I. Joe is a good example of that as well. Like he shows up, he does the work. It's tradesman kind of approach to comics, and it's not a bad thing. It's not a Grant Morrison or a, like, you know, let's collect these in omnibus kind of approach. But, you know, the work gets done, everything's turned in on time, and, you know, people have a good time when you read the Robin comic.
Well, 11 years he wrote Batman. He's written more Batman books than any other man in history.
Wow.
So, after 11 years, I mean, there's a reason for it, right? There's the editors trust him, the sales are obviously good enough, and it's... Yeah.
Well, and look at how many Robin issues he wrote. I mean, he wrote all three miniseries, plus he wrote, like, the first, I don't know how many of the regular series.
70 or 80 or something like that.
Yeah, 70 or 80, yeah. It was a long run. Yeah, he was with, and a lot of Nightwing, too, right? Yeah. Like, he was with that character, that Batman character in that family for, like I say, 11 years is impressive in all those stories. And then he also wrote, you know, some Legends of the Dark Knight at the same time, and some, you know, he had a miniseries or graphic novel or two in there. And so, yeah, I mean... I think you can tell definitely when he feels inspired. You can definitely sense it when compared to when he's just doing the work. And like you say, there's definitely like he does do a lot of miniseries and whatever, where it's like you just do the work. And that's
well, the Green Arrow
definitely comes
felt
out
like
there.
Doing the work. You know, like reading some of those issues, it was really kind of like
Was he the creator of Connor Hawk?
That's what I always believe. But
He definitely took it over.
I don't believe he's the creator though. Probably.
No, I think he took it over and created Connor Hawk.
I don't know. Because
this is worth looking up because I'm pretty sure he took it over from Grell and wrote like two or three issues with Oliver Queen killed him and then Connor Hawk came in.
No. Connor Hawk is in. So I started reading, like, Chuck Dixon did, like, three fill-in issues.
Yeah.
And then I started reading when Chuck took over immediately, like, when he took over full-time. Connor Hawk is a character in there with Oliver Queen. And
Kelly Plunkett and Jim Aparo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have been soon after.
Because Chuck Dixon didn't take over from Mike Grell. Kelly Plunkett. I believe took over.
Okay,
but soon after, because he
wrote the story that killed.
Yes, he did.
Oliver Queen.
Which is awful. Like that's one of those cases, and it's not like I'm blaming him in this case, but what I hate is the fact that you read to issue 100, and issue 100 is supposed to be the one where you're like, oh yes, this is the death of Oliver Queen, and then it's just like, it turns out we made a double-sized issue 100, but, oh, and it's got the fancy cover and stuff like that, but 101, that's where we actually do everything. You know, we wrap the story up in 101.
But I don't think it was his idea to kill Oliver Queen and put. I'm not, wasn't it?
I'm not blaming Chuck Nixon.
No, I know.
But,
yeah.
You know, like, I think that.
I'm just saying. I think it was a.
Damn it, I'm blaming Chuck Nixon.
So, who did. What characters can we think of that he did create?
I don't know. I don't know how. Like, I don't know.
He wrote the introduction of Bane.
Yeah, he would have created. He did co-create.
Yeah, he's involved with Bane a lot. Like, there's no question about that.
But even then, like, I don't know.
And I believe maybe Stephanie Brown, but I'm not 100% on that.
No, I don't think so. I think that might have been. Well, actually, that could have been Stephanie Brown. I'm not sure if that would be him or Alan Grant. See, I thought Airboy was a creator-owned thing that he did, and obviously it isn't.
No, that character had been around for a long time. So it's a public domain character.
Yeah.
All right. Actually, through lawsuits, I believe McFarlane owns him now.
It's possible.
So, next up we have Dora Dam. I believe it's getting really dark. But, so this is a gluten-free beer. So, okay. Keith, you can... You can partake.
Dora something, yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you a quick overview of characters that created by Chuck Dixon. Created, or let's say co-created, because he's...
Yeah, that's fair.
Artist, not writer.
Do you want me to?
Yeah,
writer,
you
were gonna... artist, perhaps?
So we've got Bane, we've got the Birds of Prey,
Stephanie Brown.
Yeah.
Birds of Prey existed. I mean, he made them a team.
He made them a team.
Yeah.
Someone named Gearhead.
Ah.
King One Snake.
King Snake, that's King right. Snake I was in the Robin. Goblin
yeah.
second.
Yeah.
First miniseries? Okay.
The Trigger Twins.
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Not a long list, though. Like, no. Really, for someone who's worked in comics that long, it's not a gigantic list.
Well, again, like you say, Keith...
28 links off of
the... He's the guy who comes in and takes over.
Yeah.
And when he does it well, but he takes over, you know?
I'm really looking forward to the interview, because I did listen to a couple interviews with him and find him a very engaging fellow. But it is going to be interesting. I mean, his biggest work right now is this Clinton Cash, and I'm not sure if he's going to want to talk it or not. If he does, I don't know where they will go with it, because none of us have read it.
No,
and
I'm not that fussed to talk about it, like, in fairness.
But if he wants to.
If he wants
kinda,
to.
And of course, I think he's probably going to, because, I mean, I'm very interested in it. I'd like to read it. Plus, I think it's great to see the success of it, just as it means there's potential for comics to go in a different direction and reach an audience. That may not be the book that I'd want to do that with, but because, you know, I don't think that it's... I mean, I watched the documentary, Clinton Cash. It's on YouTube, so I mean, I kind of know it's probably in there, and it's like not. I mean, we're Canadians and more liberal by our society and our nature, probably. So I mean, I don't know, kind of if it does go in that direction. If he brings it up, it'll be an interesting thing. I don't know quite where it'll go or how to handle it.
I don't know if I don't like the beer or if it's just really poorly matched with the yogurt covered pretzels.
Yeah.
There's some of that. That's one thing about the sweetness of the pretzels
is kind of...
It tastes like what I've come to expect a gluten-free beer to taste like now.
Yeah.
It's like Dora Dam, who cares?
Yeah,
I would not be a beer drinker. Like, I would never reject this.
Oh, you would.
But I would not be a beer drinker if this was beer.
Yeah, you wouldn't reject Coors Light.
It tastes like what if someone handed you a can of something
Coors
that
Light. It's
if someone handed it's you something that was just called beer, that's what you would imagine it would taste like. It's
didn't
very
you say
generic.
One of these was like a corn beer?
I don't know what this one was.
Okay, well, I thought you said one of these was a corn beer, and I'm curious about that. See if that's different.
I haven't actually seen anything anymore.
Okay.
No, I know.
Hold on.
Where was the bottle?
Here.
Over there.
So that is a...
That's not a good beer. That's not a good beer. Not a bad beer. It's just a beer.
For not a good beer, there's very little objectionable to it, though.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is Spanish. Gluten-free beer.
Yeah.
And the ingredients are in Spanish. So it's agua, malted de ceba, arroz de pico.
I think that's Spanish for corn.
Ingredients. Water, barley malt, rice, and hops.
Rice and hops.
So it's been This one must have been deglutened, because barley hop would have gluten in it naturally, so
yeah.
it would have been deglutened.
Okay. Is that good enough for you? Is that still safe enough?
Oh, yeah, it's still gluten-free.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly labeled as gluten-free. The others don't have gluten naturally. That one likely has had gluten removed from it.
Okay, so how many of these have we got left that are processed. Regional beers?
You've got your
one of those.
There's that one, and there's
three,
that
four,
one.
Five, six, seven. I think we got seven.
That's a lot. You got a lot of beers.
I know. I told
and
you.
There's, like, and then there's a cider or something I can.
Yeah,
have,
the
right?
cider. Yeah, and yeah. there's another one out here.
I'm just drinking all of the gluten free that we opened though. So there's.
Yeah.
I'm getting toasted while you guys are having a nice taste test.
Well, you're not driving.
I'm just.
You're not driving.
Yeah.
So okay.
As long as the bus driver lets me on, I'll be okay.
He'll be all right.
All right. Yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I want to do this Bavaria lemon because I it's 2%, so we know that it'll truly kind of cleanse the palate in this game.
2%? You buy it at 7-Eleven?
No, it's funny. I bought this at the same time.
Sarasota had more alcohol back in the day.
I bought this at the same time as I bought the 10.5%. So,
your theory was it would even out?
Yeah.
But the important thing to mention for that is that here in Canada, 7-Eleven doesn't sell beer. Not like the States.
Yes, right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's
this,
give us...
this I expect
so,
to be
so
actually...
for our American listeners, we can revise that joke to. 2%, did you buy that in kindergarten?
Essentially.
I expect this to be like carbonated lemonade, basically.
That's kind of what I'm hoping, man. It would be really good.
Yeah.
Well, so far, that the best one is that grapefruit one.
It is.
And that was only 3.5%. Yeah. Oh, you can't have
which
that.
Which I actually brought to recommend to you.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to... I've been gone 16 months.
It doesn't
and it's
smell
not,
like anything.
There was no reason I wasn't drinking other than the fact that I just hadn't had one, but... I'm pretty sure I'm going to become a lush after this because I'm finding some stuff that's goes down pretty easy, and some that don't. But what does this guy's rank for you guys?
Lemonade.
It is lemonade, which is good.
There's a lot of sugar in that.
I would not drink this. I couldn't drink this.
I like it.
It's too much.
You could give this to your son. He's not going to get. Toasted.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Actually,
this is...
do we have some beer I can mix this with?
Yeah, I'm sure you can find something in front of you, Chris. Maybe the Stiegel regular.
He actually is. He's pouring some beer into this. Now let's see how it tastes. How's that taste when you do that?
Better.
Yeah, that's probably really good.
Yeah,
that's how you drink
it.
This.
Is.
Take this and mix this 50% beer and 50% that. Yeah. It's really delicious. Mm-hmm. I like it, though. But it's certainly not tasting anything like a beer or alcohol.
No,
drink.
No, it's not.
I do recommend it. You guys should try it.
Mix it together?
Yeah.
All right,
I'll do it.
This kind of rocks.
Now
it takes
in.
it totally takes the hoppy taste from the Stiegel down.
I'm going to jump in with some breaking news.
All right.
Okay. Jaws 5 being filmed?
According to IndieWire.com, Australia's Herald Sun newspaper is reporting that there is a prequel to Mad Max Fury Road focused on Furiosa that is in pre-production.
Okay.
I haven't watched.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. If only there was a way we could watch that. We just stop doing everything now so you can see Mad Max.
Because I want to watch all of
it. I own
again,
it, but I haven't watched it.
Okay.
I got it for Christmas.
You're going to be maybe 25% of the way through it, and you're going to get incredibly excited about this news.
Okay. Who plays this character?
I read the comic.
This is Charlize Theron's
I read the comic book that they talked about.
Yeah. How does this taste when these are mixed, Brett?
It is better. It is definitely better. It cuts that lemon a lot, which is good. It cuts the sweetness.
It actually tastes really good.
Blended beers
that's
is something
really...
that there's not a big market for.
This is really good, though. Yeah. Like that?
Yeah.
That tastes delicious.
Yeah, see, I'm
because
a, I'm
the
a big,
was
bigger fan of...
Yes, yeah. yes.
Before, and then the sweetness comes in, undermines that, and the sweetness was way too much on its own.
Yeah.
See, I'm a huge fan of single malt scotch, not blended scotches, but in this case, blended, much better.
Yeah. So, Other thing I wanted to talk about was that Keith had mentioned we wanted to talk about the summit, and I was kind of like, I'm not as excited to do the same format this year, you know? And said, hopefully we can, maybe we can hammer something out here tonight on the air about what we can do with it, because I feel like it peaked. Like, I don't think, like, I see that last year we had like 30 people and we did three shows, and we were repeating ourselves within the shows a little bit and within each other's, but more we were repeating kind of, I felt, what some of the things that had come up in the past.
Oh, absolutely. Summits. And we always will. We always will now.
Yeah.
I think.
And so I was like, I don't think we can do any better than that. We can't, what are we going to do? 50 people? Like, or even if it's another 30, like, I feel like that's gone as far in its current format as possible. And I don't want to do it that way again. Like a new twist. And Brett, I mentioned this to Brett, and Brett's like, yeah, I kind of understand. He goes, at least smaller. I'm like, yeah, smaller or different, something new. And
Brett's
thoughts. And Brett's like, it's something less expensive, which I thought was really hilarious, because I've pay for everything.
Oh, yeah,
the last few years.
I don't want you to pay for everything. Like, that's the point.
I paid for the room and you catered.
Yeah. In the previous year, I paid for the room and catered.
No, we did
no,
2 years.
Previous year, I catered. Yeah.
Two years. We did it at my place of work. Is where we did it.
So oh, that's right. But that. You didn't pay for both years. 1 year didn't our sponsorship pay or something?
Yes, one of the years.
Oh, right. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah. But as no, a general rule, I
just
pay
don't.
For.
I don't want to have to.
That's fair.
To
as a general rule, I pay. So who bought the batteries for these glasses?
For the listeners. We started this 2012 was the first time we did a summit.
Yeah,
we did four.
Yeah, 12, I think 13, so. Yeah, 14, 15. December of 2012. Right?
December 2012, we did this in Alpha Comics. And we had three creators plus the owner of Alpha, I think, is what.
And we had four creators.
Four creators,
I believe. So we had Ryan Ferrier, Ben Rankel, Kurt Pierce, Scott Kowalczyk, and we had Chris Humphreys is the owner.
Chris Humphreys the owner.
So that'd be four, and then we had ourselves and Chris Duker was there.
Chris Duker,
yes.
Yeah.
So the next year,
Venom and Brett's voice.
The next year we did it. I'm trying to remember. Oh, we rented a space from the city.
Yes, that was at the
Jimmy
Condom.
Condom. The Rose Conarina. Yeah,
Rose Conarina. We had about maybe 15 people 15, total 12 that year.
To, I think 12,
something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. With
we
us,
added Chris Humphreys. We added Jason Memel. We added Riley Rossmall. A few others.
Chris Peterson came that year.
Chris Peterson, yeah.
And when then
I said Chris Humphreys. I meant Chris Peterson, yeah.
Yeah, and then the following year, so 14, we were up to about 20 people, and then 18 or 20 the next year, and then
and that was
last
just a
year,
big round table.
Yeah, was that was chaotic. Kind of, and we had maxed out at the round table idea at that point. So
yeah,
we
yeah.
had 22 people plus the four of us, I think is what we ended up with. So yeah, we definitely knew we had maxed out on the roundtable idea already. In 15 we split it into smaller groups of about seven.
What is this? Oh, this is my goodness.
All right, so this right now we have
sidebar,
Iron Maiden, the Trooper 666 strong beer.
This has got to be.
Is 10. The alcohol content 666?
It might be actually.
It's fucking right. It is.
Yeah. That is awesome. That is awesome.
It actually is 6.6% alcohol. That is great.
That is great. Actually, my son saw this, and he said that I needed to save the bottle cap for him. This had to go in his collection.
I'm imagining cool.
That bottle.
I'm imagining the corporate meeting where everyone's like, where someone who's in the brewmeister is in the room, and the brewmeister says, how important is it that it's 6.66? And everyone just stares at him for a full 10 minutes. And he just goes back to work.
They're really marketing themselves. They got this. They got that video game, that app, where you can play as Eddie and fight things. And
yeah. Whoa, you're pouring the beer out on the table, man.
Yeah. So you don't like it, Chris?
No, this is a vanity beer.
He was checking the
I also had the AC/DC beer.
There was an AC/DC beer.
There was an AC/DC beer. There are several Star Trek beers which actually have varying degrees of quality. But I would not rate this high on my
But the bottle is super cool.
The bottle is awesome. The
bottle is cool, and this that's what you're
second,
paying for.
This is the second of the Iron Maiden beers that I've had. I would say...
No!
Mo was rated.
That's a terrible tasting beer.
Klingon for, I would rather not have any more of this.
Yeah, fuck! Get it away from me. Throw the... I don't want that cup. That cup's contaminated.
Save the bottle so you do not buy that again.
Oh, I like the bottle. The bottle is by far
the bottle
the best
is a collector's item.
Oh.
The beer.
No, and I mean, it has that alcohol taste that...
Oh, dude. When we get to higher the 10%, percentage beers, that's what it's going to... It's gonna the 10% one... I almost guarantee that 90% of the 10% is going in there.
These are cute little cookies.
We have cute little cookies. Chocolate chip cookies.
Oh my god,
alive.
These are cute little cookies.
Yeah.
I've opened the gluten-free soft-baked chocolate chip cookies.
Mm, soft-baked. I like soft-baked.
Soft-baked. And they're adorably small.
That was actually...
Because they're probably made entirely of lard.
Does lard not have gluten?
Lard does not have gluten.
I had a box that was crisp, and I had a box that was soft, and I couldn't decide.
Honestly, there's so many things checked off as free from that it's hard to tell what it's made of.
Chris, I want to know why the chocolate, the longboat.
Why is it you always bring us a chocolate drink at these things when you know they never go over well?
I want to know why.
This has to be better than the chocolate soda.
I had once the most awesome chocolate beer of all time.
Wasn't that
ever since I've been on a quest to find it again because I could not remember.
Wasn't that the Big Rock?
No. That was Big Rock Reserve that had some nice stuff.
I don't know.
But I want to know.
It's like
sharing.
It's the size of a
it came in a variety box from Guinness. But since Guinness makes no chocolate stouts, it was a double chocolate stout. And I hope you guys enjoy this one because this is an $11 beer bottle of beer.
because
the rest of them I paid $1 each for. This one I paid $11.
This is but here's the thing: it's the size of a wine bottle, right? Yeah. So
it is.
Oh, take two. Take two. They're small. They're tiny.
Yeah, they're tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny little cookies.
Maybe I'll have the chocolate cookie before I taste.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Well. Try that, and then you can dip the second one.
Oh, my God.
You don't like the cookie?
Oh! Oh. I'm not 100% sure what's in the cookie, because I want to read the list of what it's free from.
Here's the thing. Wait. I have to describe this first. You start chewing it, you're like, this is good. And you keep chewing it, and a second texture comes in. Like a sand texture comes in. It starts to take over. I don't know what the hell that might be.
That might be date paste.
there's
date paste in there. Commonly used as a binder. Buckwheat flour, millet flour.
Now that you tell me what that is, I taste the dates.
I do too now.
Dates is pretty common in gluten-free food as a binder.
And when you say binder, yes, you're absolutely correct. It's binding my mouth.
Okay, I don't think
if you just took a pen and started pounding chocolate chips into Fig Newtons, that's what this would taste like.
Okay.
All right.
Talk about it as a binder. I don't think any of us are going to take a chip for a week. Have you tried it, Keith? Have you tried it yet?
I'm trying not to choke after the pounding chocolate chips into a Fig Newton.
I can't even drink the chocolate beer.
That's all I can taste now.
Oh, no!
It tastes exactly
like that.
What about
the sand? What about the sand?
All I'm getting is Fig Newton. It really is Fig Newton. That's all I taste.
I like Fig Newtons, so...
Yeah, this is the bastard son of Fig Newton.
Who put chocolate in Fig Newton?
These guys.
Well, it turns out when you take out wheat, gluten, milk, peanuts, tree nuts, mustard, sulfates, egg, sesame, soy, fish, crustaceans, and shellfish.
A lot of guys been eating a lot of chocolate chip cookies with mustard in it.
And shellfish. Mustard and shellfish.
A lot of shellfish in your chocolate chip cookies?
Let's see if I can actually do that.
Oh, my God. Funny thing is, when I first try it, I love it. And then I keep eating it. And that happens.
Oh, dude.
It's got that sawdust aftertaste.
Chris, if this is the chocolate beer that you like, then there's...
I may need to dip this in something.
It's not.
Chris, you're never going to find it. Just write them a letter.
Maybe that's why these cookies are so small, is they need to be rehydrated.
Drop some water on it. See if it puts up normal size.
See if it smooshes out to a regular size cookie.
Oh.
Not good?
I don't like that one at all.
$11. $11.
So far, the only thing...
$11 down the bucket.
I like grapefruit beer and pretzels. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, I like that lemon with the other beer combined.
Oh my lordy, that was.
And I don't mind that first red beer.
Oh my god, these cookies.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
What did you actually have?
The beer. He drank the beer.
And I take the sip, right? And I'm like, this isn't as bad as bread. Oh!
Yeah.
Like, it hits you.
For anyone who would like to make use of that particular recommendation, this is Phillips Longboat Chocolate Porter.
Yeah. Take a picture of that. You need a picture of that bottle next to another bottle next to it to give
like, let's use the Irish gun.
Yeah, to give, you know, kind of a context. So.
That's right. Oof.
It tastes good to start, and then it just kicks in with a weird flavor that is not chocolate or beer.
That's not anything.
Yeah, it's not like, anything I've ever tried.
Like, there's not actually that much flavor profile to it, but
no. But it's like a weird.
Hey, wait!
It tastes like medicine. Actually,
I need to take
it
a picture.
It tastes like medicine.
It's hops.
I need to take a picture of the giant bottle.
It's a kick-ass hit of hops. No,
the giant
hops
bottle
and molasses, and then that's a sweet taste at the end of the.
Yeah, if I take that,
I wouldn't call that sweet.
Okay.
I don't know what you would call that, but not sweet.
I have maple shack cream ale.
Oh, this is another one, Chris bought. This was $1.
Oh, giant one, sorry.
Here's the unbelievable thing. We've eaten almost all of those cookies.
Well, because there's 12 in there.
See,
right?
Just to mess up the scale, I'm going to take a picture of the giant bottle next to the tiny cookie.
Yeah.
So you really have no idea which one's which size.
There you go. It's like, you know what that bottle is? That's the Jaws 3D.
Maple Shack?
Shark of beers.
Yeah.
It's 35 feet.
I'm actually going to hate this.
So if we had the right glasses, that would be a good, be a good beer?
We need 3D glasses for the beer.
Exactly.
Maple Shack. It's funny. It's actually, the interesting thing is that at the end of this, I may not drink again ever because I may not want to.
I know. This smells good. Smells good.
It kind of does. It smells like a cookie should.
And I drink it, and it's not offensive. It doesn't have a lot of flavor. Slight maple
I've had
sweetness.
Other maple cream beers that you really taste. You drink it and go, that would taste great on pancakes.
Yeah, this is not that.
It's not overly strong, no.
And
it's not overly strong.
What brand is this? I guess this
Nobody.
Is just Under the Bridge.
Under the Bridge.
Under the Bridge series. Maple Shack Ale.
Brett, I think it's time to follow that one up with the hard cream soda.
Hard cream soda.
And while we serve this out, Keith, what were you saying? You talked about how we had gone up to 20. And one table, and that was as far as we could go.
So, I mean, the parts of the summit I really like are getting people who are outside of the kind of comics we normally talk about. I mean, we talk a lot about mainstream comics, but we also talk a lot about
eighties,
nineties mainstream.
Yeah,
because we're super old.
Oh, we're
and
look at us, so old.
I mean, we're all looking at our watch. It's 8:30.
We drink
it's 8:30 on a Sunday night. We're all checking our watches.
It's true.
Doing some sleep math.
It's true.
It's so true.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I was asleep. Power
sleep
nap
math,
time.
Yeah.
So I like the differing voices, but I would agree that really about 10 is about the max. And even then, I don't know whether our listeners are able to pick out individuals.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think
I appreciated the fact that the last one we broke into groups, it gave us a lot of variation, like on people, but at the same time, it gave us a lot of shows, which I liked. The biggest problem that I had, though, is that it was just such a nightmare of coordination. Mm. And at the end, I'm not sure that we got such a huge variation in the answers.
And you know what? From when I look at the numbers, like the shows in the I told you, awful. I know, awful. That's not a beer. I don't know what the hell that is.
There's more spit takes on this one episode than in 5 years.
Now Brett has now given you his commentary on Boxer hard cream soda.
Oh fuck! I can't believe you bought 6 of those. Fuck.
It only came in 6.
Fuck.
I was looking at that, the root beer one, not the cream soda one. I thought, root beer is probably going to taste like root beer. But what the hell will this taste like?
Shit. Now, off the podcast, last year we tried both the Boxer watermelon and the Boxer apple.
That's right. You're right.
What made you volunteer to go to the next Boxer?
Oh, somebody told me. Brett's like desperately trying to open another beer to get that flavor out of his mouth.
Innocent gun, at least you bought something
and
good.
By the way, since I actually already drank one of these hard cream sodas tonight, I wasn't going to go near that.
Oh, God.
But you told me you didn't mind it.
Oh, I didn't mind it in there, but I've been there, I've done that. It's done.
Shit. Yeah, I think it's awful.
The second that it touched my mouth, it was like the sweetness just...
It's an awful thing.
And it's not even close.
The Innocent Gun, or not Innocent Gun, Innocent Gun, has like a cinnamon, it has a nutmeg, it has a vanilla flavor to it. Like, it's got a lot of interesting things. It's my favorite.
This is just Innocent Gun original.
Oh, it is Innocent.
Yeah,
Innocent Gun original. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, see, like this, I know will be a good quality beer.
This is an excellent beer. And yeah. So anyway, so the one of the things that also for me was, as we were doing this the first year, was like it was kind of cool. We brought people together, and when we had ideas for the next year, and we brought more people together, then it kind of became like, hey, it's really cool that we bring all these people in the city together, and you know, just once a year that they all come together. And then that's what it was for the last 2 years. It was like, wow, it's cool that we're doing that. And but the landscape has changed also since then, that now there's a lot of drink and draws, and there's a group of organization in here in Calgary, and you know,
which kudos on you for helping start that.
Yeah, well, whatever. The point being though that it's really like, it's not as, we don't need to do that to bring people together in that same way. I don't feel that same need. I feel like that's organically occurring now. So I wanted to come at it and try and find that different twist. And I was thinking of a few ideas, and I wanted to hear what you guys do. Because it's not like we don't want to do it. I just don't want to do... I feel like I don't want to repeat ourselves. I want to challenge ourselves to do something different with it. And there's a few ways to do that, I think. So what are a couple of your ideas there, Brett?
Well, I had a couple immediately. Like, one of them was to do, like, kind of put it a little bit on us and do, like, a podcast marathon where it was either, like, a week of podcasts where it was, like, we would do it every day.
It's my favorite beer. I was just kidding.
But then I thought, like, maybe even a day. Like, it would be a day where we do, like, a podcast for like six hours straight, but
forget and then like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah,
we rotate the hosts, we rotate guests, and just keep going.
Yeah, and just keep going.
That would be cool.
But my biggest issue with that
difficult
is,
but cool.
My biggest concern with that
is that you'd have to get a divorce.
Well, no, if I do it for a day, then it's probably
just,
okay.
Just a trial separation.
Yeah, for that day. But my concern is that we would be on at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
But we'd be so far off.
Well, if one person stayed it, but if we're rotating and it's like you're doing a couple hours, you go have lunch, you can come back. Yeah. And we're doing it that way. It could work. It's interesting. It's a twist.
Yes.
And that I like.
It is.
And it's still a super summon. It still would be a way to get a lot of people together.
If we rotated guests every hour, like we do right now, then on the plus side, it would be 8 shows.
Yeah.
You know, it would be a lot of shows for each guest. The other idea that I had, and it could work in concert with it, is the idea of questions out of a hat.
Yeah.
Where we just, like...
I think that could work in concert.
Where it's, like, 50... Especially
if you're talking for 12 hours.
Yeah, it's, like, 100 questions, random questions, anything questions. And you just pull it out of a hat, and it's just, like... Because I don't want it, to be honest with you, the state of comics, I don't care anymore. You know, like, we've done that.
Yeah.
I want to go some... Let's go someplace
else. I don't think
else.
The landscape is so different from what... The business landscape is so different, or... The way people make a living in it or anything like that is so different 1 year from it was 1 year ago.
We're not going to talk about Eric Stevenson's, you know, like, Comics Pro thing again.
Bastard didn't say anything controversial this year.
Yeah.
Bastard. Every year I get all excited to read it, and I'm like, come on, I need you for show content. Yeah. Come on, Eric. Burn the place down.
But, you know, and so to me it's just like, I would rather go the other way.
Yeah.
Like, let's go silly, fun, and kooky, and just pull questions out where it's just like, I don't know what I'm going to get. Maybe it's going to be serious, maybe it's going to be funny, and then just go nuts with it in that regard.
And that way we could, if people want to stay on for the guests, want to come back later in the day, or come, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be just like once and they're one and done, you know, I mean, if they want to do whatever, especially if it's questions from the hat, nobody knows what they're going to get.
Yeah, you know? That's right, I mean...
Yeah, those are interesting ideas. Difficult to some degree, but cool and different. And the thing about this idea is, I don't know that we'd want to do it again a second year. It's also just a 1 year thing, but most of these probably are.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe after 1 year, it'd be good to come back to the other thing we were doing after a different, you know, 1 year thing. So, do you guys have any ideas? Do you want to hear what kind of I was thinking, or do you want to break open the those gimme chips?
Well, we got two beers left.
I think yes to all three of those things.
So we have Sonoma Cider Pear, and I believe this is organic, so I think it's okay for you.
Take a look at that?
Yeah, it's organic. It's gluten-free.
Please be good. I bought like 5 of those.
I love the fact that I handed Keith the one that was close to me, and yet there's one that's
tis gluten-free.
That's
gluten-free.
Right,
oh, yeah, I didn't realize that's what it was. Yeah.
And then
it's facing away from me,
because I think we're saving the 10% one till last.
Are we?
I know we're excited.
I think we need a second to last, just in case, so we can go with something. But okay, so this is a cider, pear cider.
No, in that case, then we better go with 10% because it's the second to last.
Oh, is it? Okay, we're already there. All right.
Oh, I'm. You know, have you ever felt dread about something?
Oh yeah, I'm scared to death.
Because
read that label.
So did you take a picture of it?
I have not yet.
This is the 86 Extreme Flavored Extra Strong Beer, 10.5% alcohol. So for Americans, this is like 5 times their normal beer. You know, but like,
wicked strength lager.
Look at those. You know you're in trouble when Chris has a look of fear.
When I choose my beers, there are certain words I look out for.
And extra strong.
That beer, extra strong, flavored.
Do you want to know one of the most interesting things about this? Is that the second language is Arabic.
Oh.
I can't
Nothing makes good beer like heat.
I can't. Well, but it does say serve cold.
I like beverages that are aimed at a target market that doesn't drink liquor at all.
Yeah, I know.
that's an excellent target market.
Like,
I've finished off the Glutino... pretzels, though.
Mm. They were freaking awesome.
They were good. Awesome. They were good. All right, Mo.
Oh, jeez.
Enjoy. See, it's funny because...
It's not going to be too dark, I figure.
It's not too dark. Like, it doesn't look abnormal.
Because I like a pale ale or a blonde. I like a light beer.
Like, it doesn't look like
Guinness. I like a pilsner. I'm Danish. I like a pilsner type of beer, you know.
Jeez, I'd think you were from Saskatchewan, but...
No, well, I'm not stupid. Just ugly.
Okay.
Wait.
Okay. Everybody. Okay. So let's do it.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Go.
Oh,
Okay, that's carbonated alcohol. It's crap.
Wow. That right there is...
That's that, dollar store beer.
No, man. That right there is malt liquor.
Well, that's it. It tastes like Big Bear beer. That's not Big Bear. Big Bear malt.
Yeah.
Like, Keith, why are you laughing so hard? What happened that made you laugh? And number one. And number two, Brett, I'm sorry. Did I get any of what I spit out on
you?
Oh,
my God. I just got the title of this beer. It's the 86 Extreme. 86 KO.
But now I know what it is. Wow, now I can judge awesome. It on its flavor.
Honestly, that was... It's the most... It is harsh. It is not...
It smells awful, too.
Oh, that's drink on this street corner and then go to the homeless shelter.
Can you smell that? Will that make you...
Oh, God.
That's what it tastes like. Yeah. That is what it tastes like. Let me just have one last sip.
It is like your Big Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Colt 45.
And it's funny because when I was like 18 and stuff like that, my mom used to buy me a Big Bear, and it would be like
it's some sort of punishment.
No, oddly enough, because
it was cheap. It was big.
It was big, and she would buy it, and I would drink like a bit, you know, because it could easily last me a night, obviously. But you realize that when I tried to save it and go the next day, like, Big Bear is absolute ass the next day. and every successive day after that.
Goes down from
Big Bear in quite a number of years.
Oh, no, it's there.
I've seen it.
In fact, I don't go into that section.
No, so. Well, when I was buying the singles, it's under the singles.
Yeah.
So it's like that.
Right Colt beside 45. The Colt 45.
Yeah. Because it's malt liquor.
I'm trying to decide if that's the worst one or that vanilla one.
Well, I mean, the vanilla one didn't require Brett to hose down his deck.
My other option was to drink it, though. So, in my defense.
Honestly, it's malt liquor.
It's terrible.
It's rough.
It's terrible. Okay, so we're going to do the apple or the pear cider, and Brett, you know, this is one that Keith can have the whole bottle to himself.
please do.
And we'll split the other one. There's two bottles out here.
I'm not going to open the other one.
And are you not going to open it?
I'm not going to open it. You guys are...
All right.
Oh, God.
But you're not drunk yet, are you? Oh.
Well, I finished off the two Glutenbergs.
Oh, okay. So you're not... you're might be a little...
You just blew Steve Gutenberg? What?
And we're going to have the gimme chips with
this. And then we'll have some gimme chips.
All right. See, this is
you
interesting
because
when I pour this, it doesn't pour out like the rest of them. It leaves, like, no head whatsoever.
No. Well, it's a cider, right? It's a pear cider.
Yeah, it's a cider. Oh, man. Got more of a urine-y kind of color.
And the interesting thing, I can smell it from like a foot away.
That smells fruity.
Yeah. cross your fingers. If I don't like this, I got several more for you.
Mo should love it because it smells fruity.
It is very cider.
I like a good fruity drink.
Yeah, Mo likes fruity.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of cider happening.
Well, hey, maybe we can mix it with the 10.6%.
Yeah, you could cut something with this.
I'm.
It's sour. It is quite sour.
Isn't cider supposed to be sour?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just that we've had so many kind of sweeter things that.
Oh, shit.
Well, it's...
I think that's unfair criticism.
It's both.
Because
though,
it's not. Where it's an apples saying? And oranges, or pears and pears.
Where did the 10% go? Where did that go?
10% is right over
there. A little mixer?
Yeah, because honestly, this is awful.
So you're not going to take it home, Keith? Because there's a lot more, and they're all for you because they're gluten-free.
To mix it with something.
I'm about
there
to try
may be a reason they were on for $1.
Yeah.
Well, we are getting the discounted price.
Yeah, no doubt. Okay.
Now that I know to expect it to be sour, though. Like, it's not good, but it's not as bad. It's just that really caught me off guard.
All right, so
you know, pear. I can see on a hot summer day, if you are a cooler fan.
It's making me, like, it's got that, you know, in the TV shows where somebody hits some sour, and it closes their eye on that side. Yeah. Because it's
like that commercial for Starburst or whatever it was.
It is actually closing my eye on one side.
So I've tried that in the 86, and now what I will say about this is that if you are a slightly discerning alcoholic and you like a little bit of flavor to go with your alcohol, then this is the way to drink it.
It's got kind of a Bud Light with lime flavor to it, does it?
If that was alcoholic.
You're a fancy drunk.
Yes.
All right, we're going to open up the gimme chips to... I suspect that this will taste much better after we have a gimme chip in our mouth.
Yeah, because the classic pairing of pear and teriyaki.
I can't even open the bag, though.
You need a grown-up for that?
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Do you mean teriyaki?
Oh, teriyaki.
My hands might be too cold.
I told you, it's like...
Okay. That's funny stuff.
Oh, my God. I told you!
You guys are embarrassing yourself. No, you just had to find the tear tap.
Okay.
Oh, there's a tear tap.
There's a tear tap.
Oh. Chris has got problem-solving skills.
Chris is used to drinking large volumes of alcohol.
You guys need to drink more.
Yeah. Oh, this is the funniest.
Tonight I did drink more.
Chris is much more experienced.
Chris, you grabbed a lot. That's a leap of faith. You grabbed a whole handful.
See,
I'm only to grab a couple.
I got radioactive dye in my system, man. That's right. It's all dying tomorrow.
Seaweed crunchies.
I love what has happened is that Chris has developed a bit of a wall of bottles around himself.
That's true. When you look, it's all around Chris.
It's all around Chris. All of the bottles.
Hey, take that picture right there.
Turn the flashback on.
This is my regular Sunday night. I don't know what you guys are...
Wow. All right, what do we got there?
I don't know. How are they, Brett?
I have tried these, and I have to say, I predict Brett will go, okay. Mo, you will hate them in the extreme. Keith?
I don't like the way they smell.
You can really taste the seaweed.
Okay, but I freaking love these. These are good.
It's not the worst thing I've ever had.
Mo was trying not to spit them out.
Yeah.
You did not succeed in not spitting them out.
Mo?
This is garbage, Mo. You can have that.
Would you?
You can have that.
I need some more of those.
For you.
Oh, they are good.
You can taste the seaweed. What can I put?
There's a lot of...
Where's the kale? I need the kale flavor. Or flaxseed or something. Let me try it. Maybe if I try just a smaller...
There's a lot of salt happening. That was bad, boys.
Wow.
That's it.
That's a lip smacker.
If you take really small little pieces...
Yeah, like you have to go as small pieces, because it's a very strong flavor.
I can't tell the teriyaki, though. Like, it's not very...
I'm getting the teriyaki.
No, I'm getting more of the salt.
Maybe my muscles are dull from the 86 beer, but...
I don't do it. Yeah, I mean, if you take really small, then it's not so bad. Not good.
Melt some cheese on those suckers.
I'll go with you on that one. Yeah.
I'm going to put a big chip in my mouth and see how it goes with a large chip.
Here, you have those. I just tasted too much seaweed.
Oh!
Yeah, that's what I did. That's the mistake.
Oh!
And it stays in your mouth, tasting seaweedy.
Yeah,
Longboat chocolate porter.
Small bites. Yeah, wash that down with some Longboat.
Oh. And you know what? It doesn't make the pear taste better. The pear cider does not taste better after. Okay, Chris, those are yours too. Keith, I feel for you being a celiac. All right, Chris, what do you got? You got any ideas for the summit? Anything new and fresh? Any twists? Anything you got there?
More chocolate.
Well,
chocolate.
We definitely have to reduce their numbers. As it's been suggested, probably not here, but outside of the recording. six people. And I think we should theme it. Have topics just
cosplay?
Like on our... Not cosplay.
Oh, that would be awesome.
What would you dress as?
But
as Chris. We could cosplay as each other.
Limit to six and say, let's just have the hard drinker then.
So I'm out.
That's an interesting caveat.
Chris is just looking for friends, isn't he?
Just yeah, yeah.
So
I've thought of approaching this from a, do we want webcomic artists? Do we want people working in the industry? Do we want, maybe we want artists, maybe we want writers? I've thought about those kinds of mixes. I have never considered, what if we only base it on whether people get really blasted?
So Chris is
heroin addicts.
Chris is going to have one with him, Rick, and Cam. That's going to be the show right there.
Yeah. And that'd be a good show.
Right? It would be a great show. Thankfully, I don't have to show up for
it's
that.
It's a 2016
show.
Wino Summit. I love it.
But, I mean, even to stretch that out a little bit, I mean, we pick a topic for our own podcast. We do fun stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it goes horribly, horribly awry, and I wake up the night after screaming.
Normally when it's your topic.
Yes.
So do we.
But to actually do that with invited guests.
I don't know if you wanted to debut it now, Brett, but Brett came up with how to take your concept and make it wicked and redo it. And I think we should.
This cider's awful.
that your look on your face says to me you don't want to hear it yet. You're still too traumatized.
Oh, I tried to swallow all of, like, just take a gulp of that to finish it off.
That's a bad idea.
That didn't go well.
No. Is there any more of that grapefruit
slide that
left?
Slide right back on the table.
Chris drank that bad boy.
Yeah. Oh.
I guess we should start a bit with the grapefruit.
No. We'll walk around a little bit. I'm going to have a little of this lemon.
Actually, we did some pretty good damage.
Oh, yeah.
We're not pouring out as much as that I thought.
Well,
it's only the really bad ones that are untouched.
So, Chris, you keep going. Brett won't tell you his concept for that.
Sure.
Keep going. What were you saying?
I was done.
That wasn't.
Sorry, I stopped.
I like that idea.
I stopped to judge how much alcohol I had in front of me.
The hard drinkers, the chronic masturbators.
That's how we do it.
That's your show.
Yeah, that'll be. I'll be hosting that one.
I think you and Riley would have a great little circle thing going on.
We've done live shows in front of audiences.
Yeah.
We have done massive shows.
Varying degrees of success.
Yes.
Well,
actually, most of them have turned out pretty good. The shows.
The shows itself. And as, you know, when we had those small crowds, I always approach them as we're just doing it. Like, there's the crowd when I record the podcast on Skype is incredibly small. Like, really, it's just my cat watching me. So if there's like six people in the room, that's supportive. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But the cat's a big fan. She'll listen to like 10, 15 minutes of the show before she leaves.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Which is great. Like, that's
more than I listen
to. That's more than my wife listens to, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. The day our wives start listening is the day that we might as well call it quits.
Yeah. Well, she said that if I were to get, if I got Gord Downie on to talk about his new graphic novel, she would listen to that one.
Oh,
so we'll put out a request.
Get on that.
Now, if we got Jeff Lemire. Lemire.
No. She doesn't care who he is.
No.
But that's half the team on the book.
You would think.
The more exciting member
of like
80%
of the team.
Yeah, not the more famous member, though.
Yeah.
So you're saying.
I wouldn't know who Gord Downie was if I didn't.
You weren't Canadian.
If I weren't
alive
Canadian
at this age.
Yeah.
He probably hasn't heard of you either, Chris.
All right.
But we've never. I kind of like in Brett's idea of. I don't know if that I want to do a 12-hour marathon, but we've never done a live show.
It's true.
We've never done a call in.
Yep.
You know, we have the. We in the old days, in the olden days, we did Google Hangouts. Those can be set up as, you know, jump in. We could actually look at YouTube or Google Hangouts and do a phone-in show.
Mm-hmm.
And set up some of our local creator pals and do it and have them dial in instead of setting up an event. Because I do agree with what you say that when we started this, there was nothing happening for the local creators, and most of them didn't even know there was
a
local community.
That's right.
It was like Panel One, which you know we're all very proud of, and they're doing their thing. That's separate from us. That Panel One started with people standing at our summit in 2014 and saying, "There's this many of us in town. Why don't we get together more often?" And then they started doing that. But. That,
sort of, yeah.
That kind of takes us out of the mix, yeah.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, and it's cool that it's gone from there to that, to this. And, like, these are good ideas, except for Chris's.
I like Chris's. I'm actually going to vote for Chris's before I'll vote for my own.
I like yours as well. I have to deduct a couple points for lack of alcohol.
Yeah.
I like Chris's because it doesn't involve me.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And you want the summit where you don't have to show up. That's
yep.
right.
Yeah, this is great.
Don't eat all the chips. I want some of
chips. Another idea.
Yeah, okay.
Is to make it a virtual summit and expand the focus.
Oh, damn.
Pick virtual city. Summit. Not our own Calgary. And contact creators in that area.
It'd be true that, you know, the idea of getting together creators who don't know each other on Skype or Google Hangouts.
That live close together.
Yeah, or live close together, even if they don't.
Just be facilitators.
The idea of doing a summit with a whole bunch of creators online, though, and publishers and whatever that weren't necessarily from Calgary is an interesting concept.
And they could
concept.
Mail me beer.
Yeah. Beer. So I'll say a couple of the things, and these a couple of the ideas that we've had in the past that we haven't done that I think would be really good for a summit is to take it away from the creators. And one of the ones we had talked about before was owners of comic shops in a summit. And I think that would really freshen it up and bringing all of them together, people working in comic shops, people, you know, I think that would be. And the other thing is just fans of comic shops. If they were to talk to creators, you know, the people that are buying the books, that are the regular files, that aren't podcasters and don't have any insight, if they were to talk to creators, or, you know, another idea, we had one person last year who wasn't a reader, to bring together creators with people that are either were readers and left, or to bring together people who with creators with people that don't buy comic books and have them talk about why they should and why they don't.
There was a focus group type idea I had at one point, which was, you know, I've met quite a few people, particularly through social media, who are very new readers, like within the last mm-hmm. 2, 3, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, our perspective is, like, I mean, we were gnawing on the corner of a comic book in our cribs, most of us.
Yeah.
The Wednesday Warrior is kind of what we're used to talking about, but the folks that are, you know, a year or so into comics
mm-hmm.
Have come in through the movies and the TV and such. It's just an interesting perspective that we don't.
So that's it's still a summit, yeah, but it is new, and so yeah, I think lapsed readers or store owners with creators or store owners with lapsed readers or new readers or people that don't read, or a mix of all that, like two creators, two people that have never read comics, two people that are used to read comics and have left, two people that are store owners, and two people that are, like, mixing this together and doing the summit that way, so you have a different voices, and it's not all kind of the same. So those are kind of the ideas that I was thinking. Now, we'll probably talk about this tomorrow. I don't think we're going to reach a consensus tonight, because I think we're probably getting pretty close to being done this now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but, the thing is that I like I like a combination of both or of the three of our ideas, kind of thing. Where it's
so like, everybody but Chris's.
Yeah. No, Mo. It's because I want Chris's idea to happen.
But it doesn't have to be a summit. But it could just happen anywhere.
But it could just happen.
You mentioned people who work in comic stores. I would be more interested in talking to workers, not rather than owners, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, both.
Because at our last panel one party, the person I wanted to talk to most was the leader of the Carol Corn town here. Unfortunately, you guys had left by the point I got to talk to her. And 7 or 8 pints had taken effect. Where
not Chris.
And the conversation consisted of Captain Marvel sucks. I'm going home.
I think that though, like, for me, what I like is I like the idea of having different voices on, but I like the idea of having a kind of a call-in method.
If there's a couple people that we've had on before, but it'd be nice to get. I mean, we could have a whole list of people like Tony Harrison, who we met through Panel One, and Chelsea Crutchley, and these people who've never been on. And it'd be good to get their perspective on, too. Just even if we were to do a creative summit and we did a smaller and we did it with people, except for maybe just a couple people who we really, you know, Alex Fimbo, Ryan Ferrier, Riley Ross, all these people that. But we really respect their opinions.
But
you know,
the interesting thing is, though, is
but to really mix it with people that haven't attended a previous summit,
but
that's
then,
also.
But I don't agree, because at that point I feel like if you stack the deck with Alex, Riley, and Ryan, mm-hmm. you've automatically got half the people who are going to espouse basically the same values that we've had on every single. On every
true.
Single one, and they're going to overrule, because these are powerful, you know, like speakers. They're on our shows.
So like, we talk about people who've never been on. Like you say, Chelsea Crutchley, Tony Harrison. Think of some more. I can't think of some of the local people that haven't been attended any of our summits at all.
Being on circles.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I appreciated the Sam and Damien show. Like it was great. And
yeah, Sam Hester, for instance, Damien Wilcox. Now they've been on the show, but they haven't been on in a summit format.
my biggest concern is that I don't
Kelly Tyndall.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't want it to get too. Overly serious again.
No. I agree.
But this is what's going to happen. Is
I don't know that they've ever gotten overly serious. Have they? Keith doesn't know. He's completely drunk.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not overly serious, but it's what it
serious
is.
Serious may intellectual maybe.
Intellectual,
better.
I would say for sure.
Yeah, like just to this point where.
So in other words, we want to dumb it down for our regular listeners.
Yes, dumb it down for the rest of us.
Yeah, I need to dumb it down.
Because my
for,
most fascinating.
Well, that's why we're not going to have memo
conversations with Riley Rasmo. When we catch him off guard, and we're not talking about the business of comics, but. We've tempted him into commenting on his favorite books that he read growing up.
Yeah.
I come to mind when we actually
but,
had him.
But again,
and,
that's not really what the summit truck. Is, though. Like we almost do that 51 weeks a year. So isn't it kind of nice to one day a year when you do this to kind of go a little more?
Well, but that's the thing. That's with the people we have. We've tapped. We've tapped that
with those people, which is why, like I say, this other concept is just people that have never been on. But I think these are all good ideas. Part of this is, I know, Keith, you get feedback on your Twitter. I get no feedback. Brett gets no feedback. Chris gets no feedback. We get no emails. We got a great comment on that on the
JMT Mateus. Yeah,
yeah, just awesome, and that was great, and those are great. And we do want the comments, but I think you get the Twitter stuff because you're on it. Say from like you wake up at 6 and you go to bed at 9, and that's like a 17-hour day, and
something
like that. It's 15 and a half.
I try to do 16 because I try to get 8 hours sleep.
You try and get 8 hours sleep, 16 hours on Twitter. But I would love to hear from the people, like what of these concepts, if any of them grab them, they think is most interesting. Maybe we put some Twitter poll up. More successful than the poll we once did on our website. That was a bad idea.
Yeah, we could do a Twitter poll and get like, you know, 7 or 8 times as many people.
Yeah. So 7 or 8 people.
7. 7 or 8 people.
I don't know. I've done some Twitter polls and usually get about 150 people.
So, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I don't think I've gotten more than like a couple of dozen.
Yeah. Well, that's one that we talk wrestling on though, and that's, you know, like 20,000 followers or something. So, yeah. But anyways.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know. So,
what you're saying is we should have wrestling in the summit somehow.
Honestly, the amount of comic folks that are into wrestling, you could absolutely do wrestling.
I am so sick of downloading other people's podcasts. And that's all they freaking talk about. I did not want to know anything about this recent UFC fight. I didn't give a damn.
UFC is not wrestling.
Yeah,
pretty much is.
Who's that?
Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar.
Not CM Punk.
CM Punk.
CM Punk.
Yeah.
I have now listened to about 10 podcasts.
Why?
Because I'm trying to get the comic book content out.
There's a skip 15 seconds button on the iTunes app.
Yeah, that works real great with an hour and a half podcast. 15 seconds, 15 seconds, 15.
I would just stop the podcast, but yeah, that's just me.
There's a scrap.
They get to the comic
book. You know what? And I can give you a good one that is all comic book talk.
I have a good one.
Has never talked to UFC, never talked to CM Punk. It's called We Talk Comics.
It's excellent. Yes. Try that one. It is good.
No,
good
we've show. Talked to CM Punk. We have.
That's right. We have.
Maybe for about 10 seconds.
When he wrote the Thor storyline, we talked to CM Punk for probably 10 minutes.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
It came up in the predictions episode.
Yeah.
We did the predictions of how well CM Punk... what kind of expansive comic book content will come from CM Punk after the Thor?
Well, now he's doing like something for Image or something like that, isn't he?
Drax is actually very good. I enjoy it.
There you go.
See, his Drax.
Because,
you know what?
Because
he doesn't do anything.
All the wrestling
he puts his name on it, and these guys.
No, I'm just reading all the Guardians of the Galaxy books, and it seems a shame to leave out the one.
I don't care about him. I think we're OUT.
We're
done with that. With that unnecessary noise next to the thing. I think we're done on this.
Anybody want some 86 beer?
No, I'm going to 86 this podcast though. So, gentlemen, any last words you want to say?
Jaws 3D.
That was the best part of my night.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Good times, guys. Good times.